Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Oh, it's 3 o'clock.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, here we are. We are 1 hour down here on a Thursday. We know everybody is getting ready for the holiday coming up. And not just that, tomorrow. The Reggie and Ron Radiothon, second year, as we are trying to raise money to help the Houston Food Bank. You can go to sportsradio610.com and see how you can be a part of that. And we'll have that all rolling tomorrow, and hopefully that you can help us. So a lot going on today, tomorrow, as many of you are getting ready to celebrate. And if you're getting on the road, safe travels, and still you can still ride with us on the Odyssey app and wherever you are going, YouTube and Twitch as well. So we appreciate you hanging in with us. All right. Clint, who I believe Tyler, Clint has expressed to us and has maintained the feel that he is potentially the best quarterback coach, would be a top five quarterback coach in the world right now. Is what he is.
Once was. I'm a few years removed. If I dedicated the time to it again, no question. It wouldn't take long.
It wouldn't take long for you to get a spot back.
Riding a bike, cuz.
Yep.
Just get back on the turf, baby.
Yep. Nice job by Clint. No Indianas are jumping him. He is still one of the top five.
I'm open-minded to other people's way of thinking. I'm open-minded to the new generation, a new way of doing things. I just need to see the
But you've looked around and seen some coaches and you thought,
oh, I mean, I'm telling you, if you're a parent out there with a quarterback right now,
I've got you.
I don't have enough time.
I couldn't get you,
but I'm gonna tell you, good luck, man. 75% of them, I think that's a very low number. Probably more like 90. 90% of them are stealing. They ain't got a clue what they're talking about. So good luck. Good luck navigating that if you got a young quarterback out there.
Shout out to my guy Justin Hoover. It was one of the good ones. Shout out to you.
Have followed him for a long time. Love what he does. It's not rocket science. It's like anything else, man. You know? Yeah. I mean, it's not rocket science, man.
Well, I want you to put your coach's hat on.
Okay.
And listen, I want to make this clear. I believe Cornbread is probably in the same space that I'm in, and some of you are. Some of you are not. I believe that C.J. Stroud is going to have a good to great season. Roughly because I've got a sample size of 3 seasons that C.J. Stroud usually has a good to great season. Despite how his offensive line is, despite the injuries around him, despite how his defense is, despite the coach, despite the system, you know, he's going to have a good to great year, and I believe that. Now, I don't know what that's going to mean for him down the line, but I would bet on that based off what we've seen. But, Clint, even though I believe that, I'm no fool. There is a ton of pressure on C.J. Stroud, right? There's different type of pressure. We just talked about Lamar and Josh. They've got a different type of pressure. They got a pressure to win the big one. They don't got a pressure to get their money because they got at least another contract already, no matter what they do the rest of with their teams, right? And then there are other players like C.J. Stroud who have major pressure on them because not only is a contract up for grabs right now where he is basically on a prove-it deal, this is the pressure of his playoff performance that was poor to god-awful, and there's probably a thought, hell, you think it? I bet you he blames himself harder and believes that they could have gotten to a Super Bowl had he played better. There's the pressure of the view that people have of him now and trying to get back to a level that he believes he should be on. There are a lot of different things that he has a lot of pressure on him. And I'm just wondering if you are anywhere from D'Amico, anywhere from Nick Caley to Saplinski to anybody on that staff. And I feel like the pressure is probably going to be felt early, Clint. How do you approach this? What is your approach from any direction, from training camp to how you handle him from a play-calling perspective? What is your approach, and what do you think should be the approach from the Texans, how they handle this potential pressure that C.J. Stroud is probably under?
I hope you're listening. I hope you're listening. I'm going to take my glasses off for this. I hope you're listening over there at NRG Stadium. This is not rocket science with C.J. Stroud. All right? We're going to start with the physical side of the game. Don't touch his mechanics. Don't touch his mechanics from his nose to his toes. Leave his mechanics alone. Rep on a daily basis to maintain the basic parts of playing the game. Simple things done savagely well. Drops, pocket movement, base work, all the simple stuff, right? Big toe pushes. We don't need to talk about – I don't give a damn how fast he is, straight line speed. I don't care about this extra coach that he has that works on his speed work and this and – I don't care about all that, man. Just the football quarterback-specific things, you don't need to teach the kid anything. Repping to maintain what he already does – extremely well, right? Number two, don't mention turnovers. Don't mention taking ownership. Don't mention buying in. Don't mention the negative aspects of playing. Don't stop talking about staying ahead of the chains, right? He's going into year four. If he doesn't understand the importance of protecting the football, if he doesn't understand the importance of staying ahead of the chains, if he doesn't understand the importance of communicating in and out of the huddle, then he's not that guy. You don't need to constantly remind him about it, right? All you're doing is backing him into a corner and reminding him every day before he goes to practice how he's got to try to fit this square peg in this round hole, right? The messaging matters. Quit talking about turnovers, all right? Number three, everything we do offensively, everything we do, it starts with simplify, all right? I can't tell you what that is and what that isn't. You're over there every single day and you're watching the guy. If he has struggled with the processing part of the box and the communication piece and getting a helmet on a helmet and knowing where the free rusher's coming, whatever he has struggled with, eliminate it. Take it out of it. Do away with it, right? The scariest thing with C.J. Stroud is not that his offensive line has sucked. The scariest thing with C.J. Stroud is not that he was the most hit quarterback or the most sacked quarterback at one point in the NFL. The problem with C.J. Stroud is when he snaps the football, there's a good chunk of the time versus pressure. He has no clue where the free rusher's coming from. He has no clue, right? There's a big difference between snapping the football, and I know that guy coming off my left end right there, he's free. I can set him up to make him miss. I can do things to give myself a chance. If I snap the football and I don't know if that A-gap blitzer or the defensive end, I don't know which one's coming free. I'm in trouble, right? I can't play like that. So you got to simplify, particularly protections. You got to simplify the protections to the best of your ability to make sure he's comfortable. Quit asking him to do things that he can't do, right? Or he's not ready to do, all right? And then I think you got to use the basic weapons in offensive football. I think there's no reason why C.J. Stroud shouldn't be able to keep defenses off balance in critical situations with his cadence. There's no reason that we shouldn't be able to move Nico Collins around to get the best player on the offense touches. There's no reason that our screen game should suck the way that it sucks, right? Those are things that are going to allow this quarterback to play at a much higher level. Another one, how about we play with tempo every now and then? We know he's comfortable with that. All you got to do is turn the tape on, man. When the game dictated that he speeds up and the offense get more aggressive, it's been his best moment.
From the jump.
From the jump.
Yeah.
I mean, I go immediately back to that Tampa Bay game where him and Baker Mayfield shooting out. Like that's been his where he's been the most comfortable, right? So do those things. That's a basic weapon of offensive football. Use those things. Go, like, err on the side of doing the things that he does really well. And then where he's really comfortable and where you're protecting him, go the extreme that way. Instead of going the extreme the other way and condensing formations and muddying up the picture for the quarterback all the damn time, using motions to motion a receiver in the backfield and block a safety that's inserted himself into the box, which those are all part of football. I like it, but that's what you're really good at, right? How about instead of man, our receivers got to be able to block and they got to be able to do this and that. They got to be able to play multiple positions. How about we, the one great player you got on offense, how about we find a way to use him in multiple ways instead of expecting all 10 receivers that are out there to play three or four different positions, right? Highlight your best player, which is Nico Collins, in a way that we see Seattle do with Smith and Jigba, the way that we see Minnesota do with Jefferson, the way that we see the place where Nick Cayley came from, the Rams, McVay do with Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams, and it was the white kid's name before that? Cooper Kupp. Right? I mean, it's those kind of things are how you fix C.J. Stroud. Stop with the putting such an emphasis on turnovers. Stop with putting such an emphasis on staying ahead. We all know, man. We all know that those – if C.J. doesn't know that by now, hell, I mean he's the hardest-headed quarterback that's ever played the game if he don't know that by now, being in this organization for three. The other thing, last but not least, probably the most important, how about we structure training camp around the piece of this football team that is going to dictate whether you get beyond the second round of the playoffs or not? How about instead of going out there and proving that we've got a surefire top – 1, 2, or 3 defense in this league, and they create havoc and they run to the ball and they swarm. How about instead of building training camp around that, how about we take the approach of we are going to make sure that when we get done with 3 weeks of training camp, 4 weeks, however long it is, C.J. Stroud is going to have so much success that he don't remember how we exited the playoffs last year. He's thrown so many touchdowns and had so many explosive plays and had such good protection that his confidence is through the roof just in training camp. And that's on you, coach. He's playing 2 series in a preseason game. And it's the most – it's NFL Europe that I play. It's NFL Europe type of coverages and defenses. Nobody's moving. They're sitting in a shell. He's not getting any better there. You're not going to let him play long enough. It's practice. How about we approach practice and training camp in a way of 7's got to be better. The offensive line's got to be better. They got to have more confidence together. Their communication is the most important part. Instead, we go out there every single day and we put them in the most strenuous situations to try to communicate from the very beginning. Like, how about we focus everything around getting this offense better? And I think CJ will benefit tremendously from those things.
Yeah, I think this is a critical thing. CJ is going to be under a ton of pressure. And there's probably a ton of pressure that he is putting on himself. And then there's a ton of pressure that he is going to hear. There are people who are waiting for the early turnovers, waiting for that. And to go along with stuff you're saying there, I just like trust and confidence are the two things to me if I'm the coaching staff that I'm looking at.
But you're right. That's got to start today.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Got to start today. Like we got the we can't hear from the GM no more talking about ownership buy in and blah blah blah. Like it's got to start today. It don't start Saturday before Sunday's first game.
They've got to show that they trust him and that he trusts them. And they've got to show that not only is you're saying let's build and get him confident going into the year, but let's make sure that he has confidence in what he's doing, and you are showing confidence in him. To me, I think it would be a mistake if you treated him like, hey man, we're gonna run safe. We're gonna run the football all the like. That's what we're going to do, Buffalo. We're gonna give you a heavy diet of run the football, and treat him like he is, you know, a passenger rider. I think that would be a mistake. And I'm not saying you just give him the ball and let him throw it 50 times, but I do think they need to show confidence in him that we don't just view you as anybody can do this. We view you as somebody that you're the reason, because he can be that. And I think the trust and the confidence in him, just because you went and got David Montgomery in that offensive line don't mean that we're all of a sudden just going to run the football and not use him the way that they can.
Yeah. Look, to me, this, regardless of what you want to do offensively, I don't care if you want to be a 60% run team and a 40% pass team. I don't care if you want to be a great play action team, and I don't care how you go about it. But what you've got to do from right now on is you've got to make sure that number seven is as comfortable and confident as he's ever been. And then you got something. If you look, Ron, to your point, even if you do want to go out there and just run the hell out of the ball, okay, the 20 times he throws it, you got a confident sucker out there, and hopefully you're running it well enough, and so he don't mind throwing it 20 times. He's going to throw it over the top three times because the safeties are in the box, right? But either way it goes, even if you don't run the football well and you figure out, hey, man, we got to gear this thing a little bit more towards passing the passing game, okay, you've got a much more confident quarterback, right? You just got to – I just think the tough do-your-job, take-ownership, buy-in approach – I think it's already extremely old to CJ Stroud, but you're in a situation where for this year, 2026-27 for the Texans, he is your guy. You should do everything that you possibly can to get him comfortable and confident. And to your point, Ron, you talked about pressure. We talked about the way the season ended last year. There's zero doubt about it that CJ Stroud's confidence right now is nowhere near it was after his rookie year. Right? He's human.
Can't be, yeah.
There's no way, right? It just simply can't be. What can we do between now and the first kickoff to get him back to that rookie year, that post-rookie season confidence and trust?
Yeah.
That's it. Whether you got long-term plans with him or not.
Yeah, I'm just saying, don't be going in there like they did, you know, Dart last year.
Yeah.
We're going to run and then have some – no, man, they got it. I think they've got to show that they are confident in him being a quarterback that can be the reason. All right. Coming up as we continue, speaking of messages, I got a message for another one of the top athletes here in Houston.
Hmm. Show message.
I know a lot of you may not like this.
Hold on, show.
But I think ultimately, if you're a fan of this team and you want to see the best of it, I think this may be one of the last moves that they need to make. We'll discuss.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Tyler's into it. Somebody went down in this Spain-Austria match, and Tyler's out there. There better be a red card.
Sure as hell better be.
I'm with you, T.
There was a lot more contact in that ish than what we saw with the USA red card last night.
They pulled
night.
Out a purple one.
Stupid-ass European rules.
Oh, we got a shot here.
What'd you do, 15?
That.
Oh, wow.
What a pass.
What a pass. I'm thinking, what's he going to the damn baseline for?
What'd he do? Oh, man, my man saw him cutting in.
Looking like Steve Nash.
Spain takes a 2-0 lead over Austria. That feels like that might. I was going to say, Tyler, that feels like that might be it, except for Senegal and Belgium yesterday where they scored two goals. Holes in 3 minutes.
Belgium went wild in a very short amount of time.
They did, man. All I'm looking at is I'm trying to find a flag.
Somebody needs to box out.
A flag.
They're not. I'm looking for that guy on that damn sideline with the flag raises up for offsides.
Oh,
that's him over there. I'm always watching him. That's why every time somebody scores a goal, I can't even enjoy it. Because I'm sitting there watching that guy on the edge.
Where's he come from?
Bunch of Laramie Tunsils out here.
Oh, boy. What, hand up, hand up.
Yeah, it up. Is.
Yeah. Man, they say them guys ought to be box out, man.
That's it, box out. Yeah, there you go, man. Right, use whatever terminology that
I mean,
helps.
You got four, right, they got about. Four white jerseys spread out across there, and they just let that guy hit the scene.
No, man. Just like when they ain't boxing out, man. Oh, they come out of
nice,
nowhere.
Nice, man.
All right.
They made that look easy.
World Cup full effect. As you know, the United States, they were able to prevail yesterday. You know, man. You know it's, man. You know it's good when you're there's more anger about it, even though they did advance. And there is more anger about it because the next round, boy, don't let them lose with that suspension. But they will take on Belgium on the 6th in Seattle. So it's on round of 16. See if they can really take this thing to the next level. All right. It seems like every day there's starting to be big moves in the NBA, and yesterday was no exception, as I guess the 76ers and Celtics are now trading stars to each other. As Jaylen Brown, that saga is finally over in Boston. He goes over to Philadelphia and making now Philadelphia one of the favorites in the Eastern Conference. And by the way, like, the Eastern Conference is for years the West has been the stronger conference. I think the West, there's an argument they've got maybe two best teams with the Thunder and the Spurs. That's hard to say when the Knicks just ran through them in five games. But that, man, the Knicks, the Heat, who aren't finished, the Cavs, who may do something big, but still have a pretty good team right now. I don't think the Celtics are done. We just talked about the Sixers. The East is becoming stronger, and the league is becoming stronger, and the West teams are trying to do stuff. Golden State's trying to do stuff. Even teams behind the Rockets, like Portland, has gotten better. Utah is trying to do something. The Lakers have switched things around and really made them more of a Luka-centric team. So a lot is happening, except for with the Rockets. The Rockets, and in fairness, the Nuggets, they're not doing nothing, right? We're sitting there thinking, all right, man, the Spurs, boy, they need another big. Well, then they went out and got Tobias Harris. So they got a guy that maybe they can do a lot with and put next to Wimby. That's another shooter that is a 6'8", 6'9". So they've even done something for the Rockets and the Nuggets. And
you've had enough?
You said something yesterday. And you said, boy, this ain't what Kevin Durant signed up for.
Mm-mm, ain't no way. Old ass. Ain't no way this is what he said.
No, well, because you knew he had the choice. Like, we know he was traded from Phoenix, but it clearly he had the opportunity to choose his destination of heavy input on where he was going to go. And he told the Suns, Houston's one of the teams to go to. And I think when he signed here, and I think all of us, I remember we were on the air when it became official, we all lost it, that this was a championship-level team and roster, and he was that piece that they could have. Well, I mean, I think now we've seen things have changed a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm Kevin, that don't damn it mean that we stop and trying to be a championship level team now that I've come over there. What can we do to get to where those teams are? And I know some people don't really love this. And Kevin, I'm certain you're listening. Because why wouldn't you be? Probably some reasons why, but I'm certain you're listening. If I'm Kevin, man, I would take a page out of the book of some other stars. I think Kevin should in some way either himself, which he probably wouldn't do. I don't even think Kevin's got to go burner account. I think he's got to go through an agent or somebody or have this pushed through Shams or something to show, like, publicly he's not down with the direction of where they're going. He wants them to compete more. Now, hopefully he doesn't have to take this thing to James Harden levels of uncomfort, of making people uncomfortable. But I think Kevin Durant has got to put the front office on notice and put them and almost bully them into doing something to improve this team. Because, damn it, this ain't going to cut it. Now, it may get to you do something, or then you move on from me. Or I'll make this thing as uncomfortable as possible for you to move on from me. And maybe that's the best thing for the organization. Who knows? But this dude is second team All-NBA last year, 26 plus a game, over 5 rebounds, almost 5 assists a game, 38 years old next year. We'll see what level he's able to play at. Played over 70 games last year, obviously missed in the playoffs. But I think that might be the last chance for the Rockets to do something to make themselves more competitive in the league as a championship contender if Kevin Durant comes out and does what a lot of stars do, and they kind of hold their organization's feet to the fire about trying to do something to improve their team.
Well, look, Ron, I'd be shocked if he wasn't extremely frustrated with how things went offensively last year. I mean, him consistently dribbling into double teams and then not being able to figure out how to break it for about 10, 12 games kind of deal. The way the offensive approach, the struggles of the young guys developing, all of that had to be, and then the injuries on top of that, all of that had to be extremely frustrating. And now all of a sudden you got a team that the writing is on the wall. You're not good enough.
No.
I mean, you're not good enough. Even if Fred VanVleet's healthy and Kevin Durant's healthy, after what we just watched in the conference championships and in the NBA finals, you're not good enough. And
you're also not far.
Yeah. I mean,
in terms of like a,
you're not far from at least being able to sell to Kevin Durant that you're trying.
Yeah. What I'm saying is, you don't need to add eight pieces.
No.
Or four
agreed.
Pieces.
I don't think
you know
do.
What I mean.
Yeah.
Like you're not far.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the other part is, and you have the ammo to do something.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm Kevin Durant and they did not get involved in that Jaylen Brown situation, I'm hot as hell. When you saw what he went for, Paul George,
right,
and two firsts and 2 seconds. I'm telling you, I think Kevin loves Jabari Smith. Kevin would have been like, we can get Jaylen Brown for Jabari Smith, mm-hmm, and two firsts? let's rock and roll.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it, you know, to give yourselves a chance. Because if they added a player like that and didn't have to give up a ton, they added a player like that, that's a whole different ballgame,
mm-hmm,
right now. And I just, like, this could not, as you said, not be the plan or what he signed up for, to just waste this play right now for them to just say, oh, well, I guess we're good. Because like I said, man, they're closer to teams like the Lakers and the Suns than they should be,
mm-hmm,
and what they thought they would be.
Well, and you speak of the Lakers, they at least appear to be trying.
Yes, and they got time. He ain't got time. Now I know a lot of people will be like, "Oh man, don't be that." No, I think he's the only person that could maybe push him to do something into doing it, because right now they up here moving up to get Bruce Thornton and bringing in Marcus Smart. And I got four or five point guards, it feels like. I just think he needs to step in and try to do something, because he's got to be smoking.
Sorry, they're fighting on the pitch.
There they are. Good terminology.
Oh, yeah.
Good for you. Felt good about that, didn't
coachable,
you?
Man.
There you go. All right.
Fighting on the pitch, man. I tell you, that dude with that dyed blonde hair and them white jerseys, he clearly, those guys don't want no piece of him.
Oh.
He walked up and straight punked one of them dudes in a red shirt.
Speaking of punking, somebody's trying to punk the Texans into doing something with C.J. Stroud, where I actually agree with the Texans on this one.
Mm.
And I'd be surprised if they I know Nick Caserio ain't, if they fail to be in punked like this. We'll talk about that coming.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in. We got a big week in that starts for us tomorrow. I'm going to have a couple pops in here.
I think you should. What's the name of your spot?
Happy-Go-Lucky.
Somebody bring my man some Happy-Go-Lucky.
Appletini.
Tomorrow, you got 12 hours, 6A to 6P. Yeah. Bring my man some Happy-Go-Lucky.
I would prefer it.
Soft serve what?
I want to try the Appletini, but generally I've been going with that, what is it, that Miami Vice there, a little mixture of it.
Miami Vice, Appletini, and what is it?
Happy-Go-Lucky.
Happy-Go-Lucky.
But again,
12 hours.
It doesn't matter anywhere. Anywhere frozen, baby. Margarita, I'll bang it
out. Well, don't say that. They'll be down here at this gas station pouring a little Grey Goose.
That's
he
fine,
hadn't
man.
Had Grey Goose in a while, so get Grey Goose.
That's fine, too.
Grey Goose and a slushy.
Yeah. Oh, boy, that'd be great.
great on a hot summer day.
Oh, God.
That the happy-go-lucky thought does not turn me on at all until you add the heat of Houston. That could really.
Oh, man.
That could be a, hey, man, let's stop by there and just cool off a bit.
Hour six there.
Who?
We should do hour six there.
Yeah, I think you should.
Just go ahead and move on.
Get you a couple setups around the city, and I think y'all should bounce around.
Yeah. By the way, head to you can start now. We're going from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., me, myself, and Reggie Atatula, who you hear on In the Loop every morning or every day. We're doing the Radiothon, trying to raise as much as we can for the Houston Food Bank to help feed, man. They've got over a million people that they're helping to feed every single year, and we got a chance to try to top what we did yesterday. So please help us as we will help feed Houston. It's gonna be a good time we're gonna raise some cash. And by the way, the auction, it's open right now. You can go to sportsradio610.com and you can bid on things early, so you can start making bids. There have been people making bids already on certain things, and we've got some really good prizes. Hell, a couple of them, you can go ahead and just buy the damn thing right now and just shut the whole bid down. And includes, I mean, this is Everlast glove, autographed glove by Mike Tyson, which is one of the prizes on there that you can auction items you can bid on. Andre Johnson autograph of him absolutely beating the brakes off of Courtland Finnegan. You can purchase that one as well. To help, and all of this goes to the effort as well with the Houston Food Bank. So please go ahead and check that out right now, and you can have a chance to make some bids right now early, as it'll be going through. It'll be open tomorrow, Clint, until 5:30. Tyler, I know you said you're gonna jump in here and make a bid on something. It's gonna be open until 5:30 tomorrow. So you can get it. You get started a little earlier, but it's going to be a great time. It was a great event last year. We had a lot of fun and shocked the Houston Food Bank with what everything you guys helped us do last year, and we're hoping to do more this year. So come hang with us.
Yeah, I don't know why you wouldn't. I don't know why you wouldn't. Come on, man.
That's right. Yeah, Clint will be hanging with us a little bit. Everybody will be making a stop by. All right. I heard this, and I think you guys played this Monday in my absence. Bucky Brooks, NFL Network, was talking about the contract situation with CJ. And I'll be honest, I agree with virtually everything Bucky is saying until he starts talking about what the Texans should do. And that part I disagree with. Here's Bucky Brooks talking about the contract situation with one CJ Stroud.
To me, this is one where the Houston Texans would be wise to come up off of it, open up the wallet, break them off a deal that's probably about $55 million annually, because when we continue to look at the franchise tag and the way that it's going, the franchise tag is going to be at $50 million. And even though you have them on an option next year that'll put them at $25.9 million, you are best to go ahead and pay C.J. Stroud what you think the market is worth, rather than wait and he becomes a $60 million quarterback. So quit clutching your pearls, Houston Texans. Write the check. C.J. Stroud deserves to be paid, not on his last postseason performance, but on the work that he's done the previous time before those outings. He certainly deserves to get paid.
Sounds like he really enjoyed saying clutching your pearls. That's one of the real takeaways from that. Like he wrote
that one out.
He was saving it. And yeah, you're right. He whipped that one out and felt good. There was a bit of a chuckle in his heart. I agree with a lot of what he had to say. What I don't agree with is I would really look at the Texans and try to figure out what the hell are y'all over there doing if they all of a sudden now decided, you know what? Now we're going to pay CJ. It's clear what the plan was. To me, they would just completely change course. We've talked about this a lot, Clint. I don't always have to agree with you, but because I'm not always right, generally, but I'm not always right. But as long as you got a game plan and a game plan that makes some sort of sense, then go ahead and do your thing. But make sure you have your game plan. And to me, there is nothing that can happen that should shift the Texans off their game plan of, no, we need a prove-it year. Whether I agree with that or not, no, we need a prove-it year. So, listen, I would say, and I think I've said a lot of the stuff that Bucky Brooks has said, but right now, they've made the decision. There is a plan, and they should stick to the plan. And, Clint, it should be either we were smart and we knew that we wanted him to prove it to us, and what we saw we felt like wasn't worth us going ahead and making that commitment, or they're going to be what Jerry did and probably over or pay more for their quarterback than they had to. That's, to me, where they are right now. And if they jumped off course, I'd be like, well, hold on. What in the world happened to make you change your mind?
Well, I agree with you from that perspective of that. It's somewhat silly to change course at this point in time. I mean, why would you let it go this far? Yeah. If that were the case. Now, you know, the reality of it is this is to Bucky's other comments. Whether it's CJ's fault or it's the fit issue here in Houston or just the overall offensive struggles or the lack of leadership. Like, I think there's several things you could point to in Houston on the offensive side of the ball that would make an organization uncomfortable with paying a guy $60 million that hasn't been the reason why you make a deep playoff run. Done some great things, had some really good regular season, turned the organization around. The point you've made multiple times, like, was the tip of the spear in bringing this organization out of dysfunction, him and D'Amico Ryans. Agree wholeheartedly with that. But to not pay a guy $60 million a year with no deep playoff runs where he carried the team, really no playoff runs where you carried the team, and the fit issues, whoever's fault they may be, the fit issues and the leadership issues, I think it's much more of a middle ground for most folks than it is, oh, hell no, got to pay. It's like for Bucky Brooks, got to pay. Come on, man. I mean, I've said it before back on the comments that Bucky's making. Like, CJ would be crazy to take a team-friendly deal, and the Texans would be crazy to set the market. So it's a stalemate. I think it's very easy to figure out from both perspectives. I know that's not what you were asking, but just on Bucky's comments in general about, you know, how much of a, like, we keep talking about $55 million. I mean, that's what Trevor did 2 years ago. I mean, that's what Tua did, and it was a major mistake by the Dolphins to do it. That's what Tua did 2 years ago. Like, that's 2 years old. You think CJ ought to take that? If you think they got comparable, like, obviously not Tua. But if you think that, like, the trajectory of CJ has been, like, somewhat kind of up and down, comparable to Trevor, like, you think he's going to take a contract or accept something that Trevor did 2 years ago?
I mean, he might. Maybe you're right. He might. I mean, if I were the Texans early on in the process, I'd have tried it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think I'd have been ready to jump to do what the Chiefs did. Like, the Chiefs jumped Dak Prescott. Well, I don't know if I'd been ready to do that.
You mean it, Pat?
Yeah. The Chiefs jumped, decided to pay him.
And that's a whole different, right? That's an organizational. That's an organizational. Formula that they're,
you know, but if you're saying you're going to set the market, then you would jump over the 60, which where he was at. But I mean, to me, if I were the Texans early, would I have tried to slide that sucker into between 55 and 58 million? Yeah, I would have. But that's early, not now. Now you clearly have a plan. You have a plan, and I think you have to stick through that plan unless something has happened that changes your mind. And there ain't nothing that's happened.
Yeah,
that would change your mind. Hell, there ain't a training. There ain't an OTAs that he could have had. So great to make you change your mind, or a mandatory minicamp. So, yeah, I think they've got to stay the course with this thing. And people are either going to be Texans fans are either going to be like, hell yeah, or there's going to be some where someone just texted in that Texans should have wrapped him up a long time ago. It's already ridiculous that they haven't. The rates are only going to go get higher.
It's not. Well, I mean, it's not. Nobody in NFL history has ever done it earlier than after the third year. I don't even know if it's legal. I mean, I don't know if you can legally re-up.
I don't know if he meant maybe early in the offseason. I'm guessing after a year.
Earlier, like in this month. I got last couple of months. I got you.
All right, what you got coming up?
Well, Astro Granny is clutch as hell one more time. We got to get into this World Cup, boys. We got to get into this World Cup. Bush League, once again, you're going to lose me. You're going to lose me, World Cup. You're going to lose me, FIFA. I'm real close. USA better win. We'll discuss that next right here on Sports Radio 16.
Wash your mouth out with a little bit of Coors Light.
Fantasy football season is back, baby. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. So listen and follow Fantasy Football Happy Hour wherever you get your podcasts.